some 2,000 years ago. God sent his sacrifice. He took our sins upon himself, hung there in our shame. He was spotless and so pure. Oh, the Lamb of God for sure, for he took me as I was. Oh, praise his name. What a friend he is to me. I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. He loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, for he took me as I was. Oh, praise his name. Though I've never seen his face, and I've never shook his hand, I know that one day soon I'll enter his domain. Oh, to thank him face to face, just to see the God of grace, for he took praise his name. What a friend he is to me. I can hardly believe that the God of heaven brought me out of shame. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me have a song. Oh, yes, a song. For he took me as I was. Oh, praise his name. Why he loves me, oh, so strong, causes me to have a song. Oh, yes, a song.
And aren't you glad that he takes you as you are? Yes, we should. Praise his name. Amen. This is The Truth of the Matter on Six Eyes Radio Network, and we want to say welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, especially our surrounding city estates, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. We'll be glad to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, and any of those good things, your questions, comments, because we have Dr. Doug Quick in the house with us again with another great message from God's Word. I've got the old tractor trailer backed up to the dock looking for a good load from God's Word tonight. So, Sister Ruth, who do we got in the house with us again tonight?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost band of angels. We got you, Brother Quick and his wife, and little old me.
All right. So, Sister Ruth, they say ladies first. What do you got in the way of prayer requests for tonight?
Okay, I have three unspoken, one for Mary Barnum, one for Emily Barnum, and one for me.
Okay.
And I'll be complete.
All right. And, of course, definitely, we need to be still praying for those, the conflict over there in Israel, and definitely need to be praying for our leaders. Joe Biden, for sure. I mean, kind of hypocritical. One, out of one side of his mouth, he's over there, oh, we'll support the Israelis. But yet, at the other side of his mouth, sitting there supporting their enemies, giving them money, playing both sides of the fence. That's like saying, oh, I love Jesus, but yet doing satanic worship. I mean, Jesus told us you can't be on both sides of the fence. You're either with him or against him. Biden, you better get that in your head quick. Amen. You can't be on both sides of the fence. Take your side, take your stand, and definitely needs to get right with God. Amen. So be praying for our country, as well as all the countries around the world. They seek after God, not after the man. Pray for our military, all our first responders, police, fire, ambulance. Pray for those working in hospitals, nursing homes, the patients in both places, our sick and shut-in, lost in general, and especially that soul who is nearest hell, that they'd reel up the white flag surrender. And, of course, for Brother Quick, for clarity of thought, clarity of mind, clarity of speech, and the blind ministry, yet still in need of a bus. We are praying for God's will, no matter how he would choose to see fit to get that taken care of. And with that, Brother Quick, we will turn it over to you for any prayer requests by you and your missus, and then you could go ahead and open to some prayer and go ahead and get into your message.
All right. Thank you, Brother Ken. It's just good to be back with you again. And I know Israel is in a real mess at this present time. I think it's Iran that said that they're going to blow Israel off the map. But Iran does not understand Israel as God's chosen people. And so they can drop some bombs on them and all that kind of stuff. They're not going to get rid of the Jews because the Jews are God's chosen people, and I'm so glad for that, that's for sure. Ms. Quick and I still have three special unspoken requests. And Ruth, did you have something more?
I just found Six here. If you want to talk to Six, he's on here too now.
Good, wonderful. I'm glad for that.
Yeah, good buddy.
All right.
Don't hear me.
Good evening, Dr. Quick. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing very good. Thank you, brother, for asking for me. How are you doing?
Glad to hear it. I'm blessed. Thanks for asking. And how's First Lady Quick?
Well, she's slow, but she's still getting around doing pretty good.
All right. Slow motion beats no motion. So that's a blessing right there. Continued speedy recovery for her and then you with your shoulder. Amen.
Well, we appreciate your prayers very much, that's for sure.
Yes, sir. So have you guys did the prayer request already, or am I too early?
No. Go ahead, Six.
Okay. All right. Well, as always, good evening, everyone. I would like to ask for prayer for the world, mankind, all the craziness going on in Israel. And from my understanding, it's from biblical days of two brothers fighting from Abraham, if I'm correct with that. So just want to ask for prayer in that situation. Just prayer for my family, your family. And just increase for us all, and just continued progress and increase, and that's my prayer. Amen. And with that, I'm complete.
Amen. All right, Brother Ken, did you turn this over to me now?
Yeah, go ahead, Brother Quick.
All right, good. Ms. Quick and I still have three special unspoken requests before the Lord, and we are around, we get to hear a little from at least one or two of these, and we know that the Lord is working in hearts, and the Lord's going to do exactly that which pleases the Lord, and we're glad for that. But we will appreciate your prayers. Miss Quick is, I think she's probably did something with a rib, and I'm not talking about tickled ribs. I'm talking about there's much pain in what she's got around it. She may have cracked a rib or something, and I have had that many, many years ago, and I know that is very, very painful. And I know that she will appreciate your prayers a whole lot for that. And my knees, I've been doctoring my knees, finally got into a doctor that I thought was going to do the right thing. And so far, it's cost me about $400 because our insurance company would not pay it. And so I'm hoping whatever they did to my right knee, I think it's supposed to take 4 to 6 weeks before it really begins to show improvement, and I would hope that it would start showing improvement before that. That is for sure. But we both will appreciate your prayers all around this world. That's for sure. We can use your prayer support. And I just looked at Miss Quick, and she says, "I can't think of anything right now." Isn't that wonderful? My wife, she's sitting here and she says, "I can't think of anything else right now." Well, it'd be nice, you know, when we go to Walmart and different things like that, you know, and she would just get in there and say, "Well, I just can't think of a thing I need right now." Amen. But, you know, we've been married for 57 years, so I can cut around like that and get away with it, I guess. At least she's kind of laughing over here in the corner, so. At least she'll let me live and until the end of this show, for sure. All right, well, let's pray, and let's ask the Lord to bless this night. Our Father, I'm asking you even now for that fullness of your blessed Spirit, that you would help me as I preach the Word of God for the next little bit. And Lord, I know that wherever it is that I will be heard, whether it be tonight or another time, I know that there's going to be lost people that's going to hear me. They're searching, and they don't know exactly what to do. And I would plead with you even now that your blessed Spirit would already be taking care of business with them and just encouraging them in the things that they need to do in order to become a child of God. I'm asking now that you just be with us as we open the Word of God and read about 6 verses tonight, and we'll sure appreciate all that you will do to help us. Thank you for Brother Ken and for Sister Ruth and Brother Six and for the Six Eyes Radio Network, in which we're using as we preach now. And I'm asking for your hand of blessing to be upon it for sure. Now, Lord, just watch over us this night and help us in all that we do. And we'll sure thank you and we'll sure praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've been in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and we'll be going back there again this night. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I have been preaching the last week or two, I guess, on the subject of getting ready for homecoming. And when I say we're getting ready for homecoming, I don't mean that we're getting ready for what people like to call finger food and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about our soul getting ready for going home, because one of these days, D-Day is going to hit us, and we better be ready, that's for sure. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I want to go back and start reading in verse number 1 once again and help lay the foundation for this night. We cannot forget Paul's charge to Timothy. In verse number 1, Paul said, I charge thee, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That's chapter 2. I want to go up to chapter 4. I'm sorry. I'm over here now, chapter 4. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Notice now, Paul says, I charge you. And the word charge means that it is a solemn, affirmed to duty. Our youngest son, when he was called to preach, we were having a jubilee meeting here in a little church that we were pastoring at the time. And we would have a meeting every year. And about the last year that we had it, our youngest son was there, and he walked the aisle, altar call. And we had a gentleman from Texas that was coming in to preach for us. And Ken Jackson had preached that night, and so Ken got down to help Samuel. And he says, Samuel, what is it that you've come to the altar for tonight? And Samuel says, I've come to surrender to the call of preach. And that was an answer to prayer for sure, because when my wife was carrying Samuel, and neither one of us was interested in this business of what they've got going now, where they can tell if it's going to be a boy or a girl. My wife, nor I, either one, was really interested in that. And so we would just take whatever the Lord would give us. And my wife was carrying Samuel, and she said to me, she says, I think it's going to be a girl. What do you think? I said, no, child, it ain't going to be a girl. I have asked God for a preacher, and I believe this is going to be the preacher that God's going to give us, and I'm going to name him Samuel. Now, this was months before Samuel was even born. And then when he was born, I was right there. I thought maybe I was going to have to bring Samuel into this world because the doctor was running so late. And just the last minute, the doctor came in, and he looked at me and he said, I'll take over from here. Well, I was kind of glad for that. But sure enough, God gave us a boy, and he was, I guess he was around 25 when God called him. Is that right? Yeah, around 25. That's about the same age that I was when God called me to preach. I believe it's the same age that my dad was when God called him to preach. It's just one of those things. And so Samuel is a good preacher, and we pray for him every day. But you see, Paul told Timothy here, preach the word. preach the word. How are you going to preach the word, Timothy? Preach the word through solemn affirmness of your duty. You see, it's one thing to think you're called to preach. It's another thing to know you've been called to preach. And I have dealt with both. I've been the 22nd, which will be this next Lord's Day, will mark 50 years that since God's called me to preach the Word of God. And we've been a long, hard journey, but it's been a good journey. Amen. But you see, getting ready for homecoming. Paul is doing everything he can to be ready for homecoming. He said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse number 2 says, preach the word. Preach the word. Well, you know, there's a verse of scripture. When I read this charge of Paul to Timothy, there's a verse of scripture in Jeremiah chapter 26, the second verse, verse number 2, that always comes to my mind, and I'm going to read that to you now. Paul has just told Timothy, preach the word. How's he going to preach the word? Jeremiah will tell us a lot about that. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Jeremiah is being told by the Lord, thus saith the Lord, stand there in the worship house and preach all the words that I command thee unto them. And the last four words of verse number 2 is this: diminish not a word. Isn't that amazing? Don't change a word. That's what God's order was to Jeremiah. You preach the word that I have given you. Diminish not a word. Don't you change a single word. You see, that's one reason. And the very reason that I stay with the authorized King James Bible, because every word in that King James Bible agrees all the way through from Genesis to the book of the Revelation. There's no such thing as a fairy tale in there anywhere, because whatever it says in one place, it continues to say in the other places, and that's the wonder about the Word of God. And Jeremiah is commanded by God here, diminish not a word. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking to Timothy, writing to Timothy, and he said, preach the word. And so Paul's going to word it a little bit different than what God did in the book of Jeremiah. Paul is going to say, be instant in season, out of season. In other words, Timothy, you preach the word of God and you preach it straight. It doesn't matter who's going to be there. It doesn't matter how you think. And it doesn't matter anything about how you feel. You preach the word of God and you preach it straight just like it is. That is a strong, hard command that comes to every one of us that God has called to preach. And I'm glad for that. I'm very glad for that. Preach the word. Be instant. In season. Out of season. I said last week that preaching does not have seasons like our hunting season and our fishing time. You can't always just go down and fish and just catch any kind of fish and take them home. Because you got to make sure that you're not breaking the rules and regulations that our government has set for these fish. I love to go and catch catfish. Now, there's no such thing as a season on catfish. Catfish can be caught anytime you can catch them. And I just love catfish, a fish that's called a catfish. It just makes such wonderful eating to me. Amen. But you see, Paul said, be instant in season. Take a stand and stand on it. Be present and be identified. Be there in season and out of season. Paul instructed Timothy here in verse number 2 to include 3 different avenues. We looked at this just a little bit last week. Paul said, I want you to reprove whenever you preach the Word of God. Reprove means preach in a convicting way, preach in a convincing way, preach in such a way that you point out somebody's faults to them without having to get right down in their face and say, you are guilty. We leave that to the Word of God and to the Spirit of God, because God does a wonderful job doing that for sure. But you see, preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove. You preach in such a way that there's conviction there. You preach in such a way that there's convincing there. You preach in such a way that somebody will know what's wrong with their life. They'll see their fault themselves and be able to repent of it and get right. Well, the second point that Paul said for Timothy to preach, not only is he to reprove, he is to rebuke. Now, rebuke means to forbid, to straightly charge the practice of a certain sin and anyone's foolishness in performing such a practice. We stand and we preach the Word of God. I have preached on sin many, many times in the last 50 years. I didn't get right down in anybody's face and say, you're guilty of this and you need to quit that. That's God's job to do that. And God has done a wonderful job in doing that. Amen. I'm just glad that the Lord has used me for the past 50 years. But you see, Paul said to Timothy, reprove, rebuke. And then that third one is exhort. Now, exhortation is a little bit different than reproving. Exhortation is a little bit different than rebuking. Exhortation is the fact of encouraging somebody to get better. Just encourage them to walk on with the Lord. Encourage them to read the Word of God more. Encourage them to pray for people. Encourage them. Encourage them. That's what you do when you exhort people. You encourage them to do better. Now, verse number 3. We looked at this a little bit last week, too. Paul said to Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I stated last week how that Paul had warned Timothy about this. And those very days have now arrived right now today. That's the day that I'm preaching in. Amen and amen and amen. You see, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. I have preached in churches all around this great nation. Didn't get invited back to some of them. Not because I was such an awful preacher, no. Because they changed in what they claimed to believe. Amen. It wasn't anything I did. It was that church family that just made up their mind. They didn't want to hear any more straight preaching anymore. They didn't want no more of it. And I know of a preacher or two that got fired because he was preaching straight, like what I do a lot. But his people finally got to the point where they said, no, that's not what we want. We want some fellow to come in here and give us a smooth little story where there's no conviction on our part. We just come and get a little story and leave and go home. Well, that's not what God wants. Amen. The time will come Well, they will not endure sound doctrine. That's this day and age right now. Paul then instructed Timothy to watch thou in all things in verse number 5. Watch now in all things. The word watch gives us the fact of being sober-minded. To watch sober-minded things, because the devil can throw a curve at any one of us at any time. Amen. I know that. My wife knows that. And Brother Ken knows that. I'm sure Miss Ruth knows that. I'm sure that. The devil will throw a curve at any time. And sometimes that curve comes at us, and we really don't realize where it's coming from. Amen. But then when we stop and think about it for just a minute, then we know where it's coming from. It's coming from the devil. Amen, amen.
Amen.
But you see, the same word endure here. Endure here. And watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, Paul said to Timothy. Endure here means to undergo injurious pain as the affliction that comes and goes. You go through with it. Just don't quit nowhere. You just go right on through with it. No matter how much it hurts you, keep right on or going with it. That's what Paul's saying. Watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Now, this word endure is also used in verse 3. But it gives us a different meaning in verse number 3 than what it does here in verse number 5. Verse number 3 says this: For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Having itching ears. That's what they're going to have. Amen. But you see, this word endure in verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. What this word endure here in verse 3 means is there going to be those that's going to hold up them against whatever's going on. They're not going to have any more truth come at them. They're going to hold up against it. They're going to put a blockade against it. Now, that gives us a different meaning than what it did in verse number 5. Verse number 5 says, endure or undergo afflictions, undergo injurious pain, undergo the affliction as it comes and as it goes. Just go with it. Go through with it and don't turn away from it. That's exactly what Paul is telling him here. But verse number 3 says, to hold oneself up against, to put yourself up, put your arms up, put your hands up, and say, no, I don't want no more of that. There's a whole lot of people around in our churches all around this great world. That's exactly what they're doing. They're holding their hands up, and they're saying, no, I don't want no more of that truth. I don't want no more of that Bible preaching. I don't want it. Well, Paul will now tell Timothy in verse number 6. Listen to verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered. Isn't that amazing? Paul knew that his life was just about to come to an end. How did he know that? There is this thing called dying grace. I know a whole lot about that dying grace, because I have been with saints when they were dying, and they weren't all tied in knots about anything at all. They were just glad to get from here over yonder. Dying grace. Dying grace just does wonders. I'm sure that when my time comes, there'll be dying grace also. Amen. I had a heart attack. I guess I was maybe 28 years old. I think I was pastoring a church somewhere. But I had a heart attack. and I knew it. I knew something was going on. I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I was doing some studying. And I had these little pains all across the left side of my chest about all day. And I thought, well, you know, just, you know, like heartburn, it'll go away. No, it didn't go away. It hit me. I mean, it hit me. And my wife remembers that. I was in such extreme pain. And I don't know if I even had anything good to say to her. I hope I didn't say things that wasn't too good. I don't remember that for sure. But you see, I lived through this. I didn't think I was going to. When I went to bed that night, and when my children were going to bed that night, I went and I kissed each one of them. And I said, I'll see you all in the morning. They thought I was just talking about, you know, about 12 hours or so. I was talking to them about the fact of going home, being with the Lord. That's what in the morning is all about. I told my wife the same thing. I said, honey, I love you. I wish I could hang around here a little while longer, but I just feel like God's going to call me home. Well, I woke up about 6 o'clock. I was expecting to be in heaven. I honestly was. And I looked around, and I looked over on one side of the bed. My wife was laying there. And I looked around, and I said, I'm not in heaven. I'd lived through it. Don't ask me how I lived through it, but I did. I lived through it. I had dying grace before I was even dying. Amen. I know about that dying grace. But I have been beside many a saint when they were crossing over. And I have told their family, don't come in here with an attitude that will make anybody upset, because your mama or your daddy or your papa or your grandma, they're fixing to cross over and be with the Lord. And they're just calm as can be. They know they're going. They're ready to go. And it was dying grace. My father was pastoring. He pastored for some 40 some odd years. But he would go out and knock on doors quite often. And he had a lady to visit the services one night. And she said, preacher, my husband won't come to the church house. Would you be so kind to come and talk with him? And he said, sure. So he set a time, and he went and he knocked on the door, and this fella came to the door. And he said, who are you? And my dad told him his pastor quick. And the fella says, no. And he began to curse and swear. And he slammed the door in my dad's face. He said, don't come around here. I don't want none of that religion at all. Well, it wasn't long, and his wife called my daddy, and she says, pastor, my husband is in the hospital. He's in IRS. Can you go and see him one more time? And so my dad went there, and my dad was so well known they let him in to see this fella. And as soon as this fella saw my dad, he began to curse and to swear. He said, I don't want none of that religion. I just don't want none of that religion. And it wasn't long, and this fella died, and his last words were this: oh, no, I'm in hell. That was the last words he ever said. And you talk about spurting my daddy. My daddy became one of the greatest soul winners I think I have ever known. He knew how it was to deal with people. He knew how it was to get around the hardships that they would throw at him. He knew all about that because he had been there by this man's side when he dropped off into hell, and it changed him. It changed him. I mean, it just really changed him. Well, I have not had that privilege yet. I believe I've been beside different ones that have dropped off into hell, that's for sure. I have never had the privilege of hearing somebody say, I'm in hell. Oh, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there really is a heaven. There really is a hell. I'm not joking about that at all. I'm telling you the truth. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy about here now. He says, I'm ready to be offered. What does he mean he's ready to be offered? Well, he just means he's ready to get out of here and go home. What a splendid way to cross over to heaven. For the Apostle Paul to say, I'm ready to be offered. Isn't that amazing? I have preached many a meeting around this great nation. And I have talked with many a preacher. And I have asked different preachers what they thought about getting home to be with the Lord. And so many of those preachers would say to me, Brother Quick, I'm ready to cross over. I know I'm ready to cross over, but not now. No, I ain't quite ready yet. No, I just don't want to go yet. And I used to think to myself, how is it that these gentlemen think that they can put the timeline on when they're going to go to be with the Lord and when they're not going to go to be with the Lord? I couldn't understand that. I have never been able to say that myself. No, there's a lot of things that I want to continue to do yet, a lot of things that I want to be able to get done yet, but I've been preaching the Word of God for 50 years, and a lot of those things have not gotten done yet, and I know that for a fact. Well, that's not going to drive me into a pity party. No, no, no. No, it isn't. You see, I know what it's like to stand beside a saint when they would cross over. My daddy was getting really weak, and he lived up in the state of Michigan. And we lived here in South Georgia. And every Sunday, either he would call me or I would call him. And this last Sunday that I talked with him, I got off the phone and I looked at my wife and I said, honey, it's time, we got to go. She says, I'm packed and ready to go. She said, let's just get out the door. She knew that this day was going to come. But I could understand everything that he said on the phone that afternoon. We got up there. Monday evening, it must have been right close to 9 o'clock, I think, when we drove in my dad's place, knocked on the door, and my mother came to the door, and she says, what are you doing here? As I've come to see Dad. She said, well, he just over there, he ain't said nothing for days, and he's just over there just weak as can be. Go ahead and see what you can talk to him about. So I came in, grabbed my daddy by the hand, and I said, Dad, I'm here. And he opened up his eyes, and he began to talk. I couldn't understand the first word out of his mouth. I understood everything that he said the day before when we talked on the telephone. And now he'd get so excited, his left arm would just come down and bang on that mattress where he was at, just bang, bang. He'd get so excited. And I turned and I looked at my wife and I said, you know what's going on? She said, what? And I said, God's let him look over on the other side. And so I would say to my dad, Dad, we got to go to Bonnie's mother's place. We got to get some rest tonight, but we're going to come back in the morning. And he would cut loose, that left arm just go beating that mattress again. And I have no idea what he was saying. other than the fact that he was trying to tell me what he had seen over on the other side, and I couldn't understand a word. And finally, I said to him, I says, Dad, listen, we've got to go and get some rest, but we'll be back in the morning, but you won't be here, will you? That's the only word that I ever understood him to say. He said no. And he wasn't there. He was home with the Lord the next morning. Oh, hallelujah. Listen to me. His 40-some years of preaching came to an end. He's done preaching. He's home with the Lord now. His day of crossing came, and he's crossed. He's not sure not going to come back this way. Amen. He's home with the Lord now. That same God that he preached about for 40-some-odd years, that's where he's at. He's home with the Lord. Amen. But you see, Paul told Timothy here he was getting ready to go home. He said, I'm ready to be offered. Verse number 6. I'm ready to be offered. What a splendid way to cross over into heaven. To know that you're going to go and to be ready to go and get there. Paul was ready to get there. Amen. But you know, the time of my departure is at hand. That's what he said in verse number 6. Let me read it to you again. For I am not ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. Isn't that amazing? The time of my departure is at hand. Now listen. The Apostle Paul, at a different time, some years before, had said something along that line, but he changed it when he said it. And I'll read it to you here in the book of Philippians, chapter number 1, and verse 23 and verse 24. Listen to what Paul said here. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Verse number 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. But Paul knew that his abiding in the flesh was coming to an end. He knew that he had come to an end in his servant the Lord. Amen. Oh, listen. 2 Peter chapter 1 says these words. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as my Lord Jesus Christ has shown me. That's the words of Peter. But you know, Peter, according to tradition, and I don't doubt this, Peter was going to be crucified. But then he said, no. Crucify me upside down. I am not worthy to die the same way that my Lord died. You crucify me upside down. And that's how Peter left this world and got home to be with the Lord. He was crucified upside down. Isn't that amazing? He would not be crucified the same way that his Lord had been crucified. He said he was not worthy of that. Well, I don't know what it would be like to be crucified upside down. Amen. But I do know this. I have stood on my head a good number of times when I was younger. And when that blood would start getting into my head, oh, listen, you talk about strange things take place. I would have to get back upright so that I could get that blood back out of my head because it was just becoming too painful. Well, Peter's pressure of his blood being in his head like what it was with mine. Amen. But you see, what about your need? Where do you stand with the Lord right now? God has privileged me through the years to be the last to speak to several different saints before they went home to be with the Lord. Sometimes I could understand the words that they would say. Other times they would speak, but it was impossible to understand anything they would say. And I would know that God had let them look on over the underside. I knew that. I knew that for a fact. And it happened with my daddy. My mom-in-law, my wife and I drove up to see her. She was not doing well. We got up to see her, and her mother said, "Well, what were y'all doing here?" I said, "Well, we just come up here to see you." And we talked a little while. Pretty soon my wife let the cat out of the bag. She says, "You know, today is our anniversary." And my mom-in-law, she looked at her daughter, my wife, and she said, "Then y'all go get something to eat. If this is your anniversary, you just go get something to eat." Well, we finally did leave. We finally did went and got something to eat. But when we got back there to see her mama, we couldn't understand a word coming out of her mouth. Just before we had left to get something to eat, we could understand every word. And I looked at my wife and I says, just like with my daddy, she's had the privilege of looking over on the other side. Amen and amen. Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Remember, there was a ruler of the Jews. Nicodemus was his name. He came to Jesus at night wondering about the miracles that he had seen Jesus do. But Jesus knew his real need. John chapter 3, the first three verses, 1, 2, and 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." And the Lord Jesus knew his heart much better than he did. Jesus knew that Nicodemus didn't know anything about the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle was that of being born again. Verse number 3, listen to verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Well, that caused for Nicodemus to have serious questions. Nicodemus says, "What are you talking about? I'm an old man. I can't be into my mother's womb and be born again. I can't do that." Jesus says, "That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you being born through the water and through the Spirit." And that's exactly how we still get born again to this day. Amen. But you see, there has to be a living proof that you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 and 10. Listen to these verses. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," listen to this now, "confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." You see, right there is the real test of one's salvation. That's the real test of it right there. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." How does one get born again? How does one get born again? I'll tell you. One gets born again when the Spirit of God convicts you of your sin and convicts you strongly of your sin so that you know you've got to get rid of that load somehow or another, and the Spirit of God just to your heart and lets you know it comes through repenting as a sinner and trusting Christ to save you. That's exactly how you get saved. That's how I got saved. That's how my wife got saved. My wife had been in church on Sunday night, and the pastor of the church where she was going on Sunday night, listen to this now, he got up there and he preached on hell on Sunday night. Very few preachers will preach on hell Sunday morning anymore. And she got home, and she couldn't get away from that. She went to bed, but it wouldn't be long, and the Spirit of God convicted her so much, she rolled out on her knees and trusted Christ to save her on the spot. Amen. Amen. There has to be living proof that you know Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Otherwise, how can you be living proof to others around you? You see, I've learned a long time ago, the best way that I can witness, I can talk to sinners and tell them how really need to come to know Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And when they look at me and they say, what do you know about this? I can tell them I know a whole lot about it because I've trusted Christ to save my soul, and I know about the peace and the joy that I have had in my heart ever since. You see, my wife and I do a lot of walking. Not as much walking as what we should probably, but we still get out about every day to walk. Go to the Walmart where we can walk. And I can't help it. I get out there around people, and I'm not doing this on purpose, but I wake up every once in a while as we're walking, and I realize that I'm smiling. And the way that I realize that is because so many people will be so long-faced, and they'll look at me, and all of a sudden they'll start smiling. And they'll say, well, hey, how you doing? And it dawned on me one day, everywhere that I go, there is a smile on my face. You want to know why, sinner? Because I trusted Christ to save my soul about 63 years ago. And I have known for the last 63 years exactly what it feels like to be saved. Oh, there was a few years when I thought I could go out and live my way, but it didn't last very long. Because I knew in my heart that I was saved, I was born again. I knew that. How did I know that? I knew that on them Sundays when my wife would say, you're going to go to church with me today? And I'd say, no, I'm not going today. I knew then that I was born again. I knew that. But I also knew that I was doing wrong. I was turning God down. Well, then when God called me to preach October the 22nd, 1973, my wife and I had been invited to a former pastor's place for the second different weekend. And at that time, they were still in a basement church. And the Saturday, we got there on Friday, so we could spend a little time with them. But on Saturday, I got to walking all around that inside of that basement. I mean, I couldn't help it. I was under such conviction. I couldn't help it. And directly the pastor came, and he sat down in his office, and he left the office door open. And so I'd walk by there, and he wouldn't even so much as look up. And finally, I said to myself, quick, you got to do something about this because you're just miserable. So I stepped in his office. He looked up and he said, well, hey, how you doing today? I said, preacher, listen, I'm serious. He said, you look serious. And he got a big smile on his face as he's saying all this. I said, "Preacher, honestly believe that God's fixing to call me to preach." And all of a sudden, the smile disappeared, and he got a stern look on his face, and he says, "Brother Doug, if you came in here looking for sympathy, you came to the wrong place." And he looked. He turned back down to his study. He wouldn't even so much as look up at me again. And I left his office. I walked around a little bit. Pretty soon I said, "Well, for 2 cents, I'd just leave." And I may have said something to my wife. "Well, just leave." And she said, "No, we haven't left. We haven't been to the church house yet. We got to stay here for the church." Well, that following Sunday, God called me to preach. My wife and I both, arm in arm, went down to the altar, and I mean, we're both just bawling like babies. Couldn't help it. God had called me, and my wife knew it, and she was just going along, and she was giving in, surrendering to the Lord also. And, you know, our pastor, he got to laughing so much. I'll never forget this. I'd wipe my tears a little bit, just enough as where I could see him. He'd come over a little bit closer to us, and then he'd get laughing so hard, he'd just go back to the other side. He'd get his hanky out, and he'd wipe the tears out of his eyes, and he'd laughing so hard. Pretty soon he stepped over close to me, and he said, "Brother Doug, is there anything I can do to help you?" And I said, "No." And he just cut loose, just laughing all the harder. And I told the Lord, I said, "Lord, you just made the biggest mistake you ever made, because I can't stand in front of people and say one word." And then I shut up. And the Spirit of God said back to me, "But I can, son, and I'm going to use you." Well, it's been 50 years. Amen. But you see, how can you become a living sacrifice without knowing for a fact you have been born again yourself? Romans chapter 12 says these words: "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." And if you've never trusted Christ to save your soul, you don't know what that verse of Scripture is even talking about, because you have never become a living sacrifice. You've never done that. And the only way that you can ever become a living sacrifice is to go and surrender yourself and cry out to the Lord, because you are a sinner. Every human being is a sinner. God's told us that. Cry out to God that you're a sinner, and then cry out for the Lord Jesus to come by and save you. And I can promise you, before you get done praying, before you get up off your knees, you're going to know that the Spirit of God has moved inside. Amen. Well, amen. I'm going to pray and turn this back over to Brother Ken. Our Father, thank you for these moments together in this night. Thank you for the Word of God that you have given to us. Thank you for how you helped me again this night to preach the Word of God. And I'm asking now that you'd minister unto us and unto those sinners that have never trusted Christ to save their soul. I would plead with you even this night that you would minister unto them, that you'd help them to understand the only way they can ever get to the place of having peace before you is if they come as a sinner and trust Christ to save their soul. And you will do it every time. I know that for a fact. Bless your wonderful name for how you've helped us this night again. Just thank you for Six Eyes Radio Network. I'm asking that you just meet every need. And we'll just thank you now for all that you'll do. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Ken.
All right. Give the folks your contact info, your
snail mail and email there, Brother Quick.
I'll do that. My snail mail address is 1122. That's 1122 Church Street. And that's, we live here in Waycross, Georgia. And Waycross is spelled capital Waycross, just one word, Georgia. Our zip is 31501. And we're right here in the southeastern part of the Georgia and the United States of America. And my email address is dcdoquick@gmail.com. All of these are small letters. dcdoquick@gmail.com. And we'll do our best to answer any of your emails that you send our way. All right, Brother Ken, thank you.
Amen. And that was a great message there, Brother Quick. And when you were talking about your heart attack that you had there, kind of reminded me back to when I had mine, found out later the real cause of it was an iron deficiency, which caused a stress heart attack. They called it a type 2 NSTEMI, big fancy word for a stress heart attack, basically, because there was not enough iron count in my blood, which caused lowered oxygen levels, and that's what caused the whole works. But, even like you, I just had a – basically, when that happened, I had a peace. I didn't really – I wasn't all worried about it or anything. I mean, even – I knew then if I was going to go, I was ready. I mean, even when I was hit back in 1990 – 91, it was actually 93, hit from behind when I was on the bike. Even then, I wasn't worried about it. It was like, hey, if I'm going, I'm going. So I was, it wasn't a big deal. It was like, hey, if the Lord's going to take me home, I'm ready. So, I had a peace. So I knew when you were talking about that, it was like, yep, I knew all about that kind of thing. So it was a good message, kind of brought me back to those two times, and it was like, yep, I know exactly what he was talking about. So when you talk about being a witness, I'm an actual witness to it. So there you go. And so, Sister Ruth, who do we got on the board with us that may have any questions or comments?
Well, we got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Sister Emily, Brother Six, Six left. Reverend Quick and his wife, and just me.
Okay, so we got Sister Emily. All right. So, Sister Emily, what'd you think? Did you get much of the message? And do you have any questions or comments for requests?
I came in at the tail end of it, but from what his message I did hear, it was a very good message, and where he was talking about if it was his time to go home to be with the Lord, he was at peace about it. The other day, I ended up, which I think I told you about it, ending up in the ER, and they said I had pleurisy and bronchitis together, and the breathing was so hard. I was like, okay, Lord, if it's my time and you're going to take me, go ahead.
Amen. Okay, any prayer requests, Dan?
I do have a praise report for Brother Quick.
All right, bring it on.
This afternoon, I finally got a hold of my younger brother. I was able to witness to him, and I told him, pray the way you feel, that's the way you pray to God and ask him to save you. Paul accepted Christ this afternoon, and Mom did this evening.
Amen.
And also be praying for my mom. She was diagnosed with COVID. So she's in isolation for 10 days. And she's having a fit because she wants me to come see her, but I'm not allowed to with the bronchitis and the pleurisy. They won't let me go out there, not even to stand outside her door to visit with her, because on the section of the building she's in, they've got like 8 or 9 cases of COVID out there, and with my lungs already compromised with the situation I've got, it wouldn't have been good.
Well, wouldn't be too smart, no. Okay. Any other prayer requests, Em?
Also, be keeping my daughter in prayer. She started a new job this morning. And with that, I'm complete.
Okay, Ruth, what do you think?
Oh, it's a wonderful message, and I always like his messages anyway. I love his singing. I love the whole family singing. And I love his wife and everybody, so we'll leave it at that. But I really just in love with them anyway. They're good singers. I wish they'd sing together still. But anyway, I do need some prayer, too. It's personal. I'm having a personal problem. And I'm complete.
Okay, well, with that, Brother Quick, we're going to let you close us in prayer. But I do want to have a few last words here real quick, reminding everybody of the programs coming up tomorrow on Station 2. You call 515-605-9340, 515-605-9340. And that's at 6 p.m., for My Daddy's Records with Six Eyes, and he takes you through different albums and stuff with different artists. And then at 8 p.m. on this station, Station 1, which is 424-243-9617, 424-243-9617, at 8:30 p.m. is AJ and the Squad. And that's at 8:30 p.m. So we'll catch you on either show or both. And with that, Brother Quick, take it away.
All right, Brother Ken, thank you very much. And thank you, Miss Emily, for those spots of joy that you just brought in there about your mother and your brother coming to know Christ. And we'll be praying for them for sure. All right, let's close out in prayer then. Our Father, thank you for this night that you've given to us. Thank you for each of these that have listened to the message this night. We're just so glad for that. And Lord, I'm asking now you just be with Emily's mother and brother that have trusted Christ. And then her mother has the COVID, and we're just asking that you just minister unto her and help her in this time. And then Emily said that her daughter started a new job, I think it was today, and we're always glad to hear that. And Miss Ruth has got an unspoken request that she just brought up, and we're going to pray for that also. We're asking you just be with my wife and myself and these unspoken requests that we have. We're really glad that you know what these requests are, but we don't have to tell anyone else about them. And so we're just asking you just minister and help us in these days to be found faithful unto you. Now, we're asking now that you just minister unto us and help us in all that we do. to be found pleasing and honoring unto you. We love you with all of our hearts, Lord. Thank you so much for loving us the same way in return. And just be with us now. Be with these other programs that will be coming on. Ask that you just minister and help Brother Six as he brings the program that he's got. And for Brother Ken, that you'd help him. And watch over us now. We'll sure thank you and praise you. And we'll ask that you just be with us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, you all.
Amen. Good night. God bless.
Good night. God bless.
God bless, everyone. Love you all. Night, night.
Bless you all.